for the introduction, and thank you, Dieter Daniels, for having invited me. My statement is an attempt, and I'm saying this in a way that is maybe not modest enough, it's an attempt to provide a critical economy of the ready-made in 10 minutes. It's called Reconsidering the Ready-Made. The ready-made is, and this has been mentioned already, a found object, a tout fait, as Marcel Duchamp also liked to call it. Duchamp started to purchase these objects, such as the bicycle wheel, which he mounted onto a stool, from 1913 onwards. There is thus an act of consumption implied in the ready-made. And this, of course, has a long-lasting effect on how we conceive of artistic competence, as I will briefly demonstrate in the following statement. But apart from relativizing the importance of traditional artistic skills, the ready-made also consists of the social labor of others, such as the labor of those manufacture workers who produced it, as John Roberts has convincingly argued. The ready-made indeed implies social labor, but I will add to this argument that social labor also gets eclipsed in it at the same time. By containing social labor and rendering it invisible and dead, the ready-made structurally seems to resemble the commodity fetish as described by Karl Marx. However, in my perspective, the ready-made also remains, and this is important, it remains a commodity of a special kind. And this is due to the social privileges associated with artistic labor, such as the artist who's not selling her labor force, but a product that is furthermore tied to her via authorship, or such as her comparatively more autonomous work situation. And it is these privileges of artistic labor, that are also captured in the ready-made, to my mind, and turn it into a commodity of a special kind. Because ready-mades are saturated not only with social, but also with artistic labor, they have furthermore served as a blueprint for luxury goods, which are often modeled after them. So I have 2 points now. One first point, headline, de-skilling actually means reskilling. The ready-made not only changed the way we think about artists and their practices today, it also implied new possibilities and problems that still reach into our present. In many art historical accounts, the ready-made is assumed to relativize authorship and to allow for a process of so-called de-skilling, since the artist now chooses an object instead of literally creating it. But when looking more closely at ready-mades, one realizes that traditional artistic skills don't get entirely abolished in them. They rather get reconfigured and reformulated. Skills thus get expanded and now consist of cognitive, immaterial skills as well. And this, of course, points to the increased worth of immaterial labor in today's neoliberal economy. The artist thus rises to the position of a meta-author who initiates a specific experimental setup. She moreover turns, one could say, to a managerial artist type that we often encounter in today's art world, an artist manager who at times exploits the labor of others. What is equally captured in the ready-made, I would argue, are the new competences expected from artists in a media society. For instance, when Duchamp chose to define himself as a mediumistic being, as someone who is thus permeable and appears to be object-like, he reminds us of the necessity for artists to stage themselves like an object, to cultivate a convincing persona in a society that has only increased since Duchamp's time. And Duchamp was, of course, very good at staging himself. The lesser emphasis he put on his artistic production, the more carefully he worked on the production of his artistic self, a shift that we can also detect in the work of many post-war artists. Point two, the ready-made as a commodity of a special kind. I already hinted to the fact that the labor of other people, such as the labor of the manufacture workers, is both implied in the ready-made and rendered invisible in it. This is why one can say that it structurally resembles the commodity fetish as Karl Marx described it. Because according to Marx, the secret of the commodity form is that it, I quote, reflects the social character of man's labor back to them as an objective character stamped upon the product of that labor. The commodity, in other words, mystifies the labor conditions that produced it, its own social dimension, by presenting these labor conditions to us as its own intrinsic quality. That is why, as Marx put it, commodities appear as independent beings, and therein lies their fetishism. Like fetishes, they are experienced as quasi-living and self-acting beings because the social character of the labor expended on making them is both rendered invisible in them and perceived as their own nature. This is why they appear as quasi-alive. Now, while ready-mades certainly can appear as having a life of their own, there are also, unlike ordinary commodities, unique material objects assigned to an individual author. Their uniqueness is getting preserved, for instance, when limited editions are produced of them. These objects are indeed directly associated with a singular individuality of their creator-initiator. A close nexus between the person of the artist and her product is implied here, which gets authentified by the signature or the inscription and by the attribution to an author that follows from that. Now, by containing and eclipsing the labor of others, by transforming their labor into their seemingly natural features, ready-mades seem somewhat alive, saturated with a social dimension. But next to this social labor, artistic labor is also implied by them, namely the cognitive labor of their author, a managerial type that ready-mades also evoke. So ready-mades are not only saturated with social labor conditions, but also somewhat contain the social privileges of artistic labor. And this is what makes them so attractive and irresistible in today's economy. I think it's symptomatic in this respect that luxury items are modeled after the ready-made, since the ready-made are models after the ready-made, as when, for instance, limited editions of handbags get produced, or when luxury brands create narratives that suggest a long history and an author for these serial objects, such as Louis Vuitton. It should have become clear by now that I don't consider the ready-made to be an innocent or emancipatory proposition. Ready-mades are interesting to me because of their highly problematic nature, because of how they are implicated in the capitalist system. And finally, they also remind us of the artist's problematic class position, of how artists are structurally associated with the ruling classes, even if their own financial situation remains precarious. Thank you.